Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Today on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be talking with two great guests. First is going to be Susan Wasserot. She's the Director of Legislative Affairs and Rulemaking Liaison for the Department of Labor in the state of Maine. She's going to be talking about her career and how she went from an HR background into the Department of Labor. Then we're going to be talking with Dante Vespignani. He's a certified business coach with the Entrepreneur Source, and he's going to be talking about entrepreneurial business. Is it for you? And franchises, are they an option? So let's get started. So today's first guest is Susan Wasserot. She's the Director of Legislative Affairs for the Maine Department of Labor. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, that's good. You know, that's good. I met you up at the convention, correct?
You did.
I think it was the Maine HR convention that was in May.
Yes.
Great convention that Bud and Heather put on for the New England Law Publishers. They've been doing it a long time and a sponsor, so we want to thank them for that.
That's wonderful.
Well, we would love to have the DOL as a sponsor, just so you know. I'm sure that they'll be like, what? I'm waiting for Gene to call me and go, Dave, don't say that on the air. But I will. I'm going to say it on the air.
I'll let you know that you said that when I get back.
I said that on the air. It's not a problem. I have no problem with that because Gene's great. She's great.
She's
been on the show, and we appreciate it. So you have had an interesting career, and you've taken it from HR into policy into the DOL. Tell me about how that happened.
Everything's a building block. And I wish I had known that when I was in my 20s, because like so many people in their 20s, you get so impatient with getting things started. And back then, if I had a job that I didn't think was perfect, I would just go crazy. But everything is a building block. And the first internship in college took me to my first position as an admissions counselor in Pennsylvania. And then that took me to a position in the Vanguard Group, which is a finance company.
Yeah, very familiar with them, yeah.
Wonderful company. I still have some investments with them.
That's good.
great place. Hey, invest in your 401k plan early.
Absolutely, no question about that.
And all the traveling that I did in that took me to my next position, which then took me to an HR position. They just all built on each other. And when I got my master's degree, which was one of those personal goals that was really important to me, I actually interned as an equal opportunity training person. And isn't that interesting? Because that's something that the Department of Labor does, you know, many years later. So everything kind of builds. And I would encourage people when they're in their career starting out or even at a midpoint in their job and they think, oh, I'm not getting anywhere. It all means something. It all connects together and starts to form into a whole.
Well, I think that's an important point because people sometimes say, oh, gosh, I have to sometimes take a step back. I have to take a lateral move. I have to, you know, man, this isn't exactly my ideal job, Dave. I mean, that happens to me all the time.
Sure.
I have people that say that. But I say, look, you learn from every single position that you take. Sometimes you learn things you wouldn't do. And that's okay, too.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that sometimes you just learn that that's not what you want to do. And that's fine, too. I had been the human resources manager at Midcoast Hospital in Brunswick, Maine for 16 years. And when I decided, I had run for the legislature a couple times, and I just got bitten by the bug and did. And I didn't win, unfortunately, but that's okay, because all those contacts I made along the way helped me to start the television show that I started, which was on for a couple years in Bath. And then
now that's called In My Backyard, right?
Yes, it was In My Backyard. And that was just so much fun. And I'll tell you, if I was 20 years younger, I would go into that line of work because I absolutely loved it. It was just so much fun.
But you should partner up with Bill Green. You know, that's the In My Backyard.
And,
You should partner up with him.
I should.
It's a great job.
It is. I met him actually when I was working for Speaker Nutting up at the State House. But that I left my position at as a human resources manager, a very secure, you know, full-time kind of job, and became a legislative aide to the Speaker of the House. But I did that because I knew it would position me, and I knew it would put me in a place that I loved. and a place where I wanted to work. And it panned out that way.
Well, you know, sometimes people think they get stuck in a rut, right? Mm-hmm. They say, I'm in HR. I've been in HR. I'm in retail. I've been in retail for X number of years. I'm in banking. That's what I am. They don't think outside the box necessarily. And I think this is a great example of how you show that, yes, you can think outside the box. You can take skills that are transferable from what you learned in HR, what you learned in, you know, all your different jobs and move them forward.
Absolutely. Well, that's the beauty of a human resources career is that you learn so much about working with people, and that's inherent to anything you want to be successful in, and you become very adept at relationships. And one of the things that's key to working in government, I prefer saying government than politics because politics just has that connotation that we
don't like. Right.
But I do believe that relationships are key. And when I ran for office the first time, I remember a person working with me said, relationships, make lists of people you know, because as you reach out to them, that's going to help you. And it's those relationships and those contacts that paved the way to the position with Speaker Nutting. And because I had worked with Commissioner Jean Paquette in the human resources field, she knew of my background, so when she was looking for a legislative affairs director, she talked to me about it because she knew I would have the skill set. And to your original point, that's what we need to do, is repackage those skills. It's like shuffling the deck a different way, just to say, okay, I could package these skills in this arena, and I could be successful because I have some really common denominator skills that could be
helpful. Well, it's nice because one of the things that when you're talking about career transition, when you're talking about somebody out of work or somebody who's unemployed, a lot of the times they think they're stuck, right? And and it's not that they're stuck. It's just they can't necessarily, in those circumstances, think outside the box. They can't think out of what they know. They may not have the risk tolerance to start a job, to think of something different. They may not have the whole life to support it, right? These are all factors in this. And so your story is powerful because it does show that you can move across and do other things and still be supportive of others. And the networking is key. I've said that from day one. So how did you really keep up on the networking? Because I hear people say all the time, that's my hardest part, is how do you network effectively?
Sure. And we are so busy in our jobs, and we do get focused. And I think that's why it was so good that I did make the scary move that I did, because it almost forced me to do it. I was so comfortable doing what I was doing for so many years. You almost have to force yourself. It's almost like scheduling that time to go to the fitness center because we get so busy, but you need to get out of the office
center?
Well, yeah, I need to do that
too. I'm thinking, you know, exercise is quite dangerous, but that's fine. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I said, continue. Go ahead.
But making the time to go to that Meesherm convention, you need to do it. Serving on boards, that was one of the sidelines. And I think sidelines and balance in your life is so important, because if you just stay so focused on the job, whatever the job is, that does define you in a certain way. But if you develop other interests outside of that, like hobbies, like the photography that I've gotten so into lately, you develop a network with that. If you serve on a board of directors somewhere, that forms its own little subculture and its own network, and then you meet people through there, and it just grows.
Take on civic organizations, Rotary, Lions Clubs? Are those effective for business networking? Are they effective for HR professionals? I mean, certainly the SHRMs and those groups are, for knowledge and credits and things that you need. How about, community organizations?
I'm a big believer in community, so I would think so. I mean, it's not going to have the same kind of punch as a professional organization would in terms of your career, but it has a powerful support system that can develop within your community, and that's really where it all starts. So I think that they're both important in their own specific way.
When you were making these decisions, how did you balance the time that it takes to do the networking and balance being on boards and still having a full-time job. Some of the things you hear from individuals is it's hard to balance their, you know, time, their life, if you want to say it. What's your perspective on that?
It was difficult. And at the time, I was working 32 hours a week. So technically, that was considered full-time where I used to work, but it gave me that extra day. It was hard. I still thought it was important, particularly the television show. For some reason, doing that just was so exciting for me. I loved it. It was fun. It was invigorating. And it gave me... It's kind of like fitness and exercise. When you do it, it creates its own energy that you bring back to your regular workplace. So
there is no question. And as a radio host, I get it, right? Mm-hmm. It is something that you can get escape for a little bit,
yep.
Talk to great people, network, mm-hmm. connect to people that you wouldn't normally talk to, and provide information to viewers, whether it be on TV or information on a radio. Very similar to that. I completely understand that. Mm-hmm. When you were looking at the DOL as an option, why'd you make that decision personally?
Personally, it just made so much sense to me. I knew I'd be working with someone like Gene, who I've admired and respected for many years. I knew that the mission of the Department of Labor, where we're trying to effectively serve both workers and business, I knew how important that was. I know how important it is to the state. And to be part of that in a significant way, being part of the management senior team, I had learned so much in working with Speaker Nutting. That was just such a wonderful opportunity to learn about the legislature. I was able to take everything that I had learned with him in that legislative aid role and put it into practice. And I had wanted to serve as a legislator myself. I didn't win, unfortunately, but I was able to do many of the things that the legislators do, like write bills, testify on bills, testify before the committees. So to me, it was an exciting opportunity to even get more embroiled into the process and make a difference for the state of Maine.
We're talking with Susan Wasserot, and she is the Director of Legislative Affairs for the Maine Department of Labor. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back on News Talk WLOB. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan?
I like bronze, like my tan.
Are sunburns covered?
Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group.
Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional.
Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour. We're talking with Susan Wasserot. She is the Director of Legislative Affairs for the Maine Department of Labor. We're talking about her career pathway and how HR can lead to more things than just HR. So, you know, I think we talked a little bit about how you got here, right? How you made it to where you are today. Tell me about some of the key roles you've played in the legislative sessions, having to do with not only at the state level, but now, of course, last month at the federal level. I think it would be interesting for people to understand how your career is taking you to this point.
Sure. Having worked in the department, I've been through three legislative sessions since I started with them. A legislative session here in Maine is 2 years. So the first session goes from December until about June. Second one from January till about April. They call that the short session, but it's much more intense. And so you have to prepare and submit legislation for both of those sessions. So I've been through this three times, and hopefully we'll be through it many more times after this election, because this is an election year. But it was interesting writing the legislation. I start to develop ideas. I already have ideas for next session. I listen to employers. I'm on a visiting tour now of going out visiting employers, hearing from them what's important to them, what would help make their lives better, listening to employees. I pay attention to the constituent issues that come in and start to develop legislative ideas based on the information from them. And we work together in the department to put together the legislation and submit it. One of the things that we had developed last session was a bill that it was called the READ Act, and we were able to access funds that's going to help make some significant improvements in our unemployment system. So we're really excited about that. We had another bill that had gone through about 2 years ago called work sharing, and it's something for employers. If an employer gets into a downturn in the market, rather than laying off people, they could kind of spread their hours across their employees, and then those employees could get a partial unemployment benefit during that time frame. So it's another option that the employer has in to help keep their business going, but more importantly, keep their employees connected to the company.
Yeah, actually, Gene was on the show a little while back talking about that.
Oh,
so it's really a great idea. It's unfortunate it hadn't even been thought of sooner, because it is a brilliant way to keep people employed.
Sure, sure. So we work on those kinds of things. We had submitted legislation to try to make it easier for minors to be able to get their work permits in the summer. That unfortunately did not pass in a partisan manner. That was a great bill in our opinion, and it had support from kids that came in and testified. It was a really good bill. We also had a bill to
And do
try
you see that coming back up?
Depending upon the way the elections go this November, it's on the list that I would resubmit, simply because there was so much bipartisan interest from the people that came in to testify on it. So I would like to see
sure.
it come back.
Okay. That's good.
We'll see. So we listen to employers, we listen to employees, we try to put things in that would make things better, to make the workplace better. The big thing that the Department of Labor is working on now is workforce development. And everybody hears words skills gap. We have a skills gap. We need to get more workers trained. I had the pleasure of traveling to Washington, D.C. A month or more ago, and had the privilege of watching that bill get voted on in the Senate. And that was a really historic thing. That the money that had been coming into states all across the nation for workforce development had been limping along through what's called continuing resolutions for over 10 years.
Wow.
So the money had not been committed. And now the Senate voted on it. It should go back to the House, and hopefully by the end of the summer, we should see that go into effect, which would be a big, big bonus for all the states in the country, particularly Maine.
No, that'd be great. I mean, certainly anything that can help, right? That can help employers train, develop, and get a better workforce. It's critical right now, because we're working with plenty of employers that are basically saying, look, we cannot find the skills of the talent level that we need. And that's a real problem in terms of, you know, employers dealing with that here in Maine.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what is the department looking at for potential legislation having to do with the aging workforce? Because obviously this is an area here in Maine that is getting a lot of press, right?
Absolutely.
There's no question it's getting a lot of press. So what's the take on that?
It certainly is a major issue. In terms of legislation, I'm not so sure that it would require legislation. It requires focused efforts on the initiatives within existing legislation. For example, within the department, we have what's called the State Workforce Investment Board, and one of the standing committees on that board is a committee that looks at the aging workforce. It would be partnering with outside of the state organizations to be able to partner with them to address the issues. Our career centers can focus on working with an aging workforce. So we do things within the department within the parameters we already have in order to focus on that population, because it's a problem.
It's growing. There's no question about that. So in getting back to your career a little bit, what are some of the key points that you would say, these are things that you need to do to have a career like I had in terms of making the changes? I mean, obviously, networking is probably one of the keys, right? There's no question about it. Take me through some of the things you think are the key takeaways from today.
Yep. One of them is having an open mind. And being willing to start over. I've done it twice. I'm not saying it's for everybody, and I'm not saying everybody can do it, but I think it's important. When I was at the Vanguard Group, I had mentioned being there for 3 years. When I decided to get my master's, crazy me, I decided I wanted to do it on a full-time basis. So I did. And that put me in a different mindset than if I had been working and going part-time. And it put me in a completely, I moved back home, lived with my parents for a short time. Very short time, thankfully.
Yeah.
It's not easy to go home at 28.
No, not at all, but it's happening. It's happening everywhere.
It's happening. So, you know, did that. It was done in a year and a half, so that was good. But being willing to start over, knowing that it's not forever, I think that was important. It was also important to be able to go sideways. I used to think that working up a career ladder was the most important thing, and that was the only way to be fulfilled. That isn't the only way to be fulfilled. Sometimes being fulfilled is doing something that you love rather than just climbing up a ladder and being in a certain place. Sometimes a certain place isn't what you think it's going to be.
Yeah, it's not always greener on the other side, is it?
It's really not. And I really think being balanced, not being so focused on, you know, one particular job, but being focused on living and having that career, that job be an important part of what you do, but not let it identify you. It sounds so corny, but it's, you know, maybe that's the wisdom that comes with getting to a certain age where I am now, but it's been helpful.
No, that's great. So if somebody wants to get a hold of you, somebody wants to, you know, talk to you about how you did it and wants to be, you know, inspired by that, how can they reach you?
They can reach me at the Department of Labor, and the address is susan.wasserot@maine.gov.
And that's WASSEROTT.
Correct. They could call me on my cell, which is 841-0202. Those would be the best ways. Or they could text me at that same number. And that would be a good way to get in touch with me if they wanted to look up legislation, too. That's one thing I didn't get to talk about is we need employers and workers to come and testify on our different bills. And when I'm up in front of the legislature and talking about our bills, if I talk about them, they look at me with a rather jaded eye because they know that I work for the Department of Labor. But if an employer gets up and speaks personally about how this particular bill would benefit them, it makes a big difference. And getting employers and real Mainers in front of the legislature is key to passing some of this legislation. So please contact me about that. If you wanted to look up where a particular bill stands in the process, what its status is, I'd be happy to help with that.
No, that's great. I think also at the end of the show, on the HRPowerHour.com. We will put the information for Susan so that you can directly contact her off our site. Susan, thank you for being on the show today.
You're very welcome. It was fun.
No, I appreciate it. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And it's the HR Power Hour, and today we're going to be talking with our second guest, Dante Vespignani. How are you today, Dante?
Super, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Dante is a certified business coach with the Entrepreneur's Source. So what is the Entrepreneur's Source there, Dante?
Well, the Entrepreneur's Source is a professional coaching firm where we work with C-level executives and those folks that are going through downsizing in their companies or are looking for something a little bit different in their career. And we help them explore different options out there vis-a-vis getting into business for yourself or actually just trying to find another job. We try to identify what their goals, their skill sets are and transferable skills and see what path we can lead them down. Basically, in a nutshell, that's what we do.
So when you're looking at an individual to determine if they have the skills, maybe the activity level to go into the business themselves, what are some of the things that you do to analyze a client?
We do a number of things. I like to, are you familiar with DISC?
I am familiar with DISC, of course.
I'm a certified DISC examiner, and what I do is I try to give them a DISC report. And we go ahead and I go over the DISC report with my clients, and we talk about their strengths, weaknesses, and I ask them probably about 100 questions about their career, about their goals. And then I go into a lot of personal information. What do they love to do to relax? What would be their dream job? What would they like to do for the rest of their careers? And most importantly, what is their exit strategy? A lot of folks aren't thinking about exit strategy. And then I try to take all those different data points and drill down through the 300 or 400 companies I work with and find two or three that might be applicable to their skill sets and their transferable skills. If they're great talking to people, if they got great sales skills, that would be very transferable into entrepreneurship in a selling kind of role. If they're more a C or an S on the DISC scale, which means they like data, they like information, the more computer literate folks, those are the guys I try to show models where there's a lot of data or brick and mortar kind of thing. So there's a lot of information I get handed, we go through together to find the right opportunity. And then I have some training courses online, a course called AIM, which I buy for them, and basically it's a business 101. They take the course, and at the end of the course, they pretty much have a great idea whether they want to go into business for themselves or get a job.
Well, it's interesting because there is a big difference between the two, and I certainly get asked all the time, why would you own a business? Why would you, you know, what are some of the things that are key in terms of doing that? And I say all the time, one of the main things that you have to remember when you are running a business is that you are sales first. I mean, that's the reality. I mean, you have to sell yourself. You have to then sell your business and what you do. And that takes a special type of person. And if you're going to be running it yourself, if you're going to have the risk tolerance for doing it yourself, these are all things that you have to analyze, correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of times in chatting with clients, we actually come to the realization most of the time that, you know what, entrepreneurship, business ownership is not for them, and that we need to just focus them on getting a job. And that's when I hand them off to, you know, folks like you. I mean, who can do that? That's your skill set. You know, my skill set is to try to find the right opportunity for them if I can't, and very often I can't. I mean, we move on to the next phase of their career. At least we have that informed, intelligent decision going forward.
No, and I think it's an important question, right? Do they have the propensity to be able to do that type of thing, and can they handle it for their personal life? If they're married, children, how does it affect the home life? You know, how about income during that time frame? How about insurance? How about liability? How about all those things that I know you take them through in terms of thinking it out and making a rational, you know, informed decision?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I have to have buy-in from the spouse because it's very important to get their buy-in on taking some money out of the bank and buying or investing in a business. I mean, we try to make that process as seamless as possible and as painless as possible. You know, I try to find financing for the clients that allows them to pay their bills for at least 6 months to a year so the business can ramp up. They're not worried about making the rent payment or, you know, paying the electric bill. You know, there's a lot involved there. And you're right. It has to be a total buy-in that they want to do this.
You talked about training. What are some of the trainings other than you talked about that one particular course that you take? What are some of the other trainings that your organization provides or that you put individuals through to have them understand either for their entrepreneur moment, or what are some things that help them through the process once they get started?
And that's where I come in. The big difference between a coach and a consultant. A consultant will come in and tell you, you know, A, B, C, and D you need to do. A coach is more, okay, let's find the answers together. And part of that questioning process, David, is, you know, we talk to them about a number of different items, and we find the solutions to those problems together. There's a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of me holding their hand and actually, you know, interviewing those potential companies that they may want to get into business with. There's a lot of telephone calls where we will call existing business owners in that franchise and gather information about their existing business. You know, like, do they like what they're doing? Are they making any money? How fast does it take them to ramp up? And more importantly, would they do it all over again, or what would they do differently? So that hand-holding in that process, the hand-holding in the legal process of looking at the franchise agreement, you know, as their coach, they look to me to lead, guide, and direct them down that path. And that's what my role is, and that's some of the training that's involved, is utilizing that 30 years of experience in the franchising entrepreneurship realm. In helping those clients.
Well, you brought up a good point. And so this is the next question, which focuses a little bit between the two things you just spoke about, one being operating and starting a business, either buying a business or starting one from scratch, whether it be in the consulting world, whether it be a brick and mortar, whether it be in some industry, or buying into or looking at franchising, another very good option for a lot of people, taking a name that's well-known and building upon it. But there are, of course, parts to this. So how do you take a person through trying to decide between those two types of options?
Well, there again, what I try to do is, you know, what are they looking for? Okay, so they're in a career transition. They've decided that they want to kick that tire and look at business ownership. So, okay, I try to give them We actually go through 30 different areas of interest. Pick five out of the 30 areas that you think are appealing to you. Then I take those areas and match companies to those areas. We then think about, is this the thing that's actually going to fire your jets up for the rest of your life? Did that answer your question there, David?
Yeah, no, I mean, it does.
I'm sorry.
The second part was really looking at franchising, because there is sometimes a big financial commitment, right, in terms of franchising and how that really fits into somebody's life.
Yeah, and actually, that's a very good point to make. Let's say they're looking at business ownership for themselves. Okay, I've got this idea to make this widget. Now, what I try to do is, okay, what's that widget you want to make? And I look in the database of franchises. And if there's a franchise that already makes that widget, why reinvent the wheel? Because it takes you 1 to 2 years to get ramped up if you do it yourself. Whereas in a franchise operation, your success ratio is much greater. I think the Department of Labor put out some numbers a while ago that if you look at opening your own shop, 10 years down the road, there's an 80% chance you're not going to be there. Whereas if you open a widget franchise, there's an 80% chance you will still be in business during that time period. Now, on the financing piece, there's so many different ways now to finance that business model. I mean, there's a 401k rollover, they call it, which is now allowed by the federal government, where there's certain institutions will take your 401k money, and for a fee, you start a company, that company then takes control of your 401k, and you can use your own money instead of going to the bank. Or you can go to the bank. There's traditional SBA. I think there's like four or five different SBA loans out there. It's all according to how much money you want to borrow, too. I mean, there's a lot of businesses that you don't need $300,000 to get into business. There's a number of franchises that are very lucrative that you get into for under $100,000. So from a financing point of view, that's very doable.
Do you see that, and I think this is an important part of this, do you see that the banks, maybe credit unions, whatever you're going to, are you seeing them being a little more flexible when it comes to franchises versus starting their own, especially if they see the potential value, or does it really matter as long as the individual is qualified for either?
Banks in Maine are stingy. Traditionally, they're very conservative. Stingy is a bad word. I apologize to all you bankers out there. They're very conservative in the way they lend money, which is good. Maine banks survived that great downfall we had in the last couple of years. The money is available. They're more apt to give you money if it's a well-established franchise. There's a track record. They know they have a generic business plan they can put together for you. They are analyzing your market to make sure that this concept will work in the 04062 zip code or whatever zip code you're in. If it doesn't work, they're not going to let you open that franchise. However, if you have your own widget business you want to do, and you go to the bank and say, hey, this is a great idea, I mean, they'll go, yeah, okay, but we want 50% down. And typically the folks that want to open a business don't have 50% down to put on it. So it makes the franchise look a little bit more lucrative to the banks, a more doable deal.
Sure, and we're talking with Dante Vespignani. He's a certified business coach with the Entrepreneur Source. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back. Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit.
Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan?
I like bronze, like my tan.
Are sunburns covered?
Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group.
Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. Today we're talking with Dante Vespignani. You know, Dante, I've got to work on that name. You know, I'm an Italian. You would think I could say it easier. Really, you would think I could.
I think you nailed it pretty good that time.
He's a certified business coach with the Entrepreneur Source. You know, we were talking about, before we went to break, about banks and about how, you know, financing is out there. There are other options here in Maine. We're talking about FAME, the Finance Authority of Maine. We're talking about the SBA, and they have some special financing going on when it comes to businesses. What's your take on that? How do people who are looking at making these types of decisions fare in those areas?
I think it's a very valuable resource here in Maine. You know, there's another organization, I mean, let's talk about SCORE first. The SCORE is a great, great organization that folks that are wanting to go into business should utilize. There are retired executives that will work with you free of charge. They'll help you with your marketing plan, your business plan, see if your idea is correct, and they can lead, guide, and direct you to the resources that they know of that would be lending money or possibly lend money for you to open your business. FAME, as you mentioned, great organization. There's a little-known organization that nobody really takes advantage of. It's called AVCOG, and it's Androscoggin Valley Council of Governments, a little bit north of us in the Lewiston-Auburn area. They'll actually do a lot of work in helping you put together a business plan also and lead you to lenders in their areas that would be willing to talk to you. There's a lot of angel financing out there. You just got to dig down deep and research it and chat. I know SCORE, the folks at SCORE, will have the information that you need to talk to, who the people you need to talk to in those angel financing institutions.
Now, you work with SCORE as well. I know in terms of you talk about franchising a lot with them, correct?
Correct, yes.
So what are you seeing as some of the key questions you get asked? What are some of the things that you could share on the air today of some of the key questions that come across your desk that you can help answer and maybe provide some really good, useful information for the audience today in terms of that?
I guess the major question I'm asked all the time is what's the hottest one out there? And that really depends upon, again, your skill sets and what's available here in the state. There's a lot of franchises here in the state already, but there's new ones coming around all the time. And they ask me, why a franchise? And that's the second biggest question, why a franchise? And I just say, well, you know, I've been in the franchising world both as an operator and a franchisee, and in doing your own thing, you got to reinvent the wheel. You got to reinvent your marketing plan, your marketing materials. Who's your ideal customer? Who's your ideal customer base? And a lot of times folks tell me, well, everybody's my customer. That's not correct. We have specific customer demographics that we need to focus on, and a franchise helps you identify those ideal customers that you need to work with. So there's a lot of value that they've done all the homework. They've done all the footwork. They've done all the legal work. And you're buying that system. And you're able to hit the ground running, throwing cash to the bottom line a lot faster with a franchise than you would on doing it yourself. Now, granted, there's a lot of entrepreneurs here in Maine that do a lot of things on their own, and gosh darn it, they're doing a great job. But for those folks that are a little bit unsure, I think they need to investigate the franchise angle and see if that's something that's for them.
Now, when somebody is looking at a franchise and they're working with you, is there a cost involved? Is there something where, you know, they have to pay a fee for this information? I know certainly SCORE is free. I'm just trying to get a feel for if the entrepreneur sources as well, or how exactly does the financing work?
Everything I do with my clients is free. My job is to find them the right model, and I do not charge them anything for my services. I don't charge them for the AIM course I provide to them. I don't charge them for the phone calls or, you know, any of the time. I only ask that they answer the phone. When we set appointments, they answer the phone. The only cost to be involved is when they buy the franchise. I mean, of course, I get paid, but I get paid on the back end if and only if they buy a franchise. That company would pay my fee. So the only thing out of their pocket is time to me.
Well, and that's critical for people to know that this is really a free resource to look in to if this could work for you. I mean, that I think is important for people to understand and maybe take the time, because it really is an investment of your time, an individual, not you, yes, but others' time, to look into these type of things and see if it's right for them.
Oh, absolutely. And like I say, David, it's not for everybody. It really isn't. So if we identify that business ownership is not for you, then we can then lead, guide, and direct them to the HR professionals in the area that can get them that career that they want. But we already know then where they want to be and their final exit strategy, so it makes it a lot easier for you to find them the right job.
No, there's no question about that. And you know, when somebody's more focused, when they have answers to questions, it makes them more focused in their job search. When you're talking to C-level professionals, and we'll talk about senior-level professionals for just a second, do you find that they are fearful of committing the type of money or commitment that it takes to go into these organizations? Or do you find that they really have a tolerance for it? Or how do you really work with them to determine their tolerance?
Typically, your C-level exec is very high D on the DISC scale. So they're more inclined to say, find me something now, let's do it yesterday. Their tolerance for investing, they already know in their mind what they want to invest in a business if they decide that they want to get into a business. And most of them are realizing now that they're coming off of jobs, they're being downsized, they're doing about $200,000 to $300,000 a year in salary and bonus, and if they're over 55 years old, the opportunities for them are not as great in that segment. So they're looking at business ownership. They're looking at, you know, kicking that tire down the road to see if there's something out there besides getting that job, because they know those jobs are not as plentiful as they used to be. So they're ready to make a decision a lot faster than most folks.
And when you're trying to, you know, finalize the deal, do you recommend that they seek counsel for this? How do you, how do they go about their trusted advisors and bring them into the organization? Do you help them with that?
Yes, I do. There's legal counsel here in Maine that we've developed relationships with. There's several accounting firms we've developed relationships with. So, you know, once we get that franchise agreement in their hand, we take it to counsel and we talk about what is changeable, what isn't changeable. Most franchise documents are boilerplate. Protects and shows you their rights and remedies to make sure their trademark is maintained and that you're doing what you need to do to build a business. Likewise, there's parts of that document that protect the franchisee also. Franchising's changed from what it used to be years ago, and it's changed for the better.
No, I think that's great. And you provide a great resource for individuals out there that really want to learn about whether or not being an entrepreneur buying a franchise is really for them. And the fact that you're coming on today and talking about the fact that most of this information is free and provided to them, I find this to be a great resource, not only for individuals who are working, but for people who are really thinking about what is my next career move. I might be unemployed, but I might be have just been unemployed, have a severance package or have something, and really starting to think about other ways to make this happen. And so, you know, I think that this information is critical. What are a couple takeaways that you can share in the last couple minutes here of what you see people should be thinking about when they're getting ready to pick up the phone and call you?
Just keep an open mind. You know, I'm not a miracle worker, that's for sure, but I can give you options. And it's all about options. It's all about really what do you want to do in the second half of your career that just you can't wait to get out of bed in the morning to do. And that's, I think, everybody should take away in looking at a second career option is that what do I want to do that's just going to fire me up so much that I can't wait to get out and do it? And that's really key. I mean, whether you're looking for a job or you're looking to get into a business of your own in entrepreneurship, you got to have that fire. You got to have that passion. You got to want to do it. Not that you have to do it, but you got to want to do it. That's the only way you're going to be successful.
Well said, Dante. Well said. I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. Again, Dante Vespignani is a certified business coach with the Entrepreneur Source, also works with SCORE in terms of franchising opportunities. I think you provided some great information. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Cell phone would be the best way. Area code 412-916-9919. It's a Pittsburgh area code, but I'll call you right back. So,
excellent. Excellent. I want to thank you very much for being on the show. Certainly after the show today, you can read all about Dante and certainly connect with him directly. There's going to be a page set up on the HR Power Hour, as there is on every single show. You can go there. You can listen to it again to make sure that you get the information directly. You can click on a direct link to Dante himself. Thank you again for being on the show today, Dante.
Thank you very much.
And now the HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group. Licensed agents in 28 states, business, commercial, and personal. Go to northerninsurancegroup.com. Employee wellness programs have grown in popularity as organizations realize healthier employees are more productive employees. The following are direct benefits employees may expect from a successful wellness program. Lower absenteeism, improve employee morale, higher employee productivity, reduced health care costs, reduce injuries, and possibly even reduce workers' compensation and disability-related costs. So have you decided to invest in one? Take the time to look at these and make that decision. And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group at northerninsurancegroup.com. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.